Chapter 3. I briefly stopped off at the manor before I headed to Pixie Lane. The Red Witch worked for the bastard priest, and she was often sent to collect payments from various undesirables. If I wanted the chance to talk to her, without the fear of the priest or his guards finding out, then I'd need to stop her from doing her job in order to give us the chance to talk. It would have been far too suspicious if she arrived back at the priest's estate without the correct amount of pieces in her sack, though, so I'd have to remedy any losses. With a bag full of my own pieces that should more than make up the difference, I headed through the shadow quarters and past Medusa's palace. I still had the same sense of trepidation whenever I neared Medusa's palace, since I knew more Gorgons still resided there. Ash and I had slain 3 when we were running from the Blessed one night, and I often wondered if the remaining sisters knew who'd killed them, and if we had to worry about some bullshit retaliation from them, too. The vampires and incubi were enough to deal with for now. The large clock in the center of the shadow quarters chimed 5 times as I reached Pixie Lane, which told me it was now the 5th hour and the time that the witch began her work here. She knew I was wanting to meet with her, due to the message I'd sent Gior to deliver, but there was a chance she might have changed her mind at the last minute. The Red Witch had appeared fed up and tired of working for the priest, and she seemed eager to work for me and Ash, but that didn't necessarily mean the meeting was still going to go ahead. I just hoped she wouldn't back out on the arrangement. I needed information on the priest and the web he was connected to, and she was the only one who could give that to me. The church was one of our biggest threats, and one of the biggest organizations in Rengfree. Practically every human worshipped those holy bastards, and some creatures too, and the church did whatever they could to rid the city of undesirables like myself. Yet the priest appeared to be playing a different role. It was like the man had 2 faces. To the worshippers of the church, the priest could do no wrong. He welcomed everyone who walked past, and I assumed he'd help them in their time of need. But, behind closed doors, when he had stripped from his holy robes, he was a completely different man. He had a setup with the Dark Elves to keep the church from raiding their illegal business, and the undesirables on Pixie Lane constantly paid him a large sum of money, but I still didn't know why they paid him. I was curious to know the reason behind this, and much more, and only one person could give me the answers I searched for. The telltale signs of a rolling carriage broke into my surroundings as I thought about the priest. The Red Witch was always dropped off on this certain street, and then the carriage would be waiting to collect her again at the end of her trail. I knew exactly where the carriage dropped her off, thanks to Ash's stalking over the last couple of weeks, so I kept back in the shadows of the alley as I waited for my chance to pounce. The sun had started to set, and the fire lanterns acted as the main light source. The cobblestone street was lit up with a warm orange glow, and a dark shadow broke into the light just as I heard the carriage pull away. I could tell from the silhouette that it was the witch approaching, but I stayed still as she passed the opening of the alley, just in case the driver was still in sight. Not that he would have really caused me that much trouble, because I could have killed him within seconds, but it would be suspicious if the horse and carriage didn't arrive back at the estate. The last thing I wanted to do was cause trouble for her and lose our most promising informant. The witch passed the alley and continued to walk, and once I had checked the coast was clear, I slipped out of my hiding spot and began to follow her. There was a line of houses to the right of us, which I knew the witch needed to stop at, but then she took the first side street to the left and hid in the darkness.
"I thought I'd find you here,"
she said as I joined her in the street. "Yes, thank you for agreeing to meet me." The witch crossed her arms over her chest and cocked her head to one side, and for a moment I was struck by how beautiful she was. I'd almost forgotten how warm her golden skin appeared, and how the planes of her cheeks rounded flawlessly, while her chin and nose pointed elegantly. Her dark purple hair had been tied into a knot on the top of her head, and the long red dress she wore helped to emphasize her ample curves. A red cloak was tied around her neck and ran down to the ankles of her high-heeled black boots, and the petite woman stood at shoulder height with me while her brilliant amber eyes looked up to meet mine.
I wouldn't say I agreed to meet you, but I'm intrigued by a partnership.
The witch let her arms drop to her sides again. I like that word, partnership.
Right, come on. You can tell me what you want as we walk. I'm only meant to be here for a short while tonight.
We checked our surroundings once more and then began to walk down Pixie Lane. The Red Witch completely ignored the houses to our right, which pleased me. We didn't have the time to stop and collect payments, and I wanted to get straight to business.
It's been a couple of weeks since I last saw you,
the witch began the conversation.
I started to think you'd made me that lovely offer and then just disappeared.
Would that have disappointed you? I smirked.
Maybe.
She shrugged.
I certainly haven't been waiting around for you or anything. I'm fine regardless. I was only intrigued by your offer to find me other employment.
I glanced over at the Red Witch, and she wore the same exhausted look on her face and spoke in the same irritated tone as the last time I'd seen her. She was clearly tired and fed up spending her evenings on Pixie Lane, only to be sent back to the hovel the priest kept her locked in. That proved to me that she needed to leave, and I wanted to be the one who gave her that freedom. You look tired.
I'm always tired. But at least I managed to leave my home, and that won't happen if I don't return with the correct amount of pieces, so you better hurry up and talk, because I have work to do.
I smiled at the sassy nature of this witch. She seemed to have a backbone, and she wasn't afraid to admit how she really felt. You think I haven't thought of that? I laughed and held up the bag of pieces. I shook it slightly so she could hear the coins inside. There's more than enough in here to make up the difference. I'll give you what you need, but only if you can repay the offer.
We'll see about that.
She pursed her lips. The end of the street curved around a bend to begin yet another line of houses. A lone tree and a wooden bench had been placed before the bend, so the witch and I took a seat before we continued talking again. It was nice to sit and rest a minute. Pixie Lane was practically deserted at this time of night, probably on account of the Red Witch's presence, but a few dwarves were hobbling this way, so we remained silent while they passed. I glanced up at a window of one of the houses and spotted the lit candle someone had placed there. The flame flickered slightly, and it sent flashes of red and orange light against the glass. Some mortal then walked past the window, and I couldn't help but wonder what they were up to, what room they were in, and what they had done during the day. There was a faint smell of evil in the air, but the majority of the beings who lived here were probably innocents. I bet they didn't have the same issues I did with the Lord Captains, the Incubi, the Church, and all the others who'd gladly take my head if they could. Ash and I were never going to live a peaceful, free life until everything had been dealt with. Which brought me back to the Red Witch. If I could get her on my side, I'd be one step closer to reaching that goal. I'm Atticus, by the way. I broke the gentle silence once the dwarves were out of earshot. I thought it was best we knew each other's names.
Yes, I know. I remember your beautiful little demon friend calling you that.
I spotted the small smile that appeared on her face, and her amber eyes began to warm slightly, almost like she was willing to enjoy this conversation after all.
And your name is?
Sevelia,
she said curtly. Did you not want me to know your name? Sevelia paused for a moment, and I caught the look in her eyes. She was thinking about how to answer my question, even though it seemed like an easy answer to give.
I never really tell anyone my name,
she replied after a short hesitation.
Even the priest doesn't know my name, but then again, he's never bothered to ask.
Nice boss. I wondered if the warm glow in her eyes came from the fact that I appeared to care, and if this was something Sevelia wasn't used to.
"So, tell me a bit more about yourself, Atticus,"
Sevelia began as she kicked a loose stone with the toe of her boot.
"What is it that you do?"
"Just business," I smirked. Before I could fully trust Sevelia with the inner workings of the organization, I had to be careful whether she was going to double-cross me first. For all I knew, this could have been a ploy from the priest. It wouldn't have been smart for me to divulge until I knew for sure.
"That's annoyingly vague."
"Let's just say Ash and I are still trying to find our footing," I shrugged. "But there is one thing we're after, hence why I came here this evening." The Red Witch narrowed her amber eyes at me, but then she got up.
"Come on, let's keep walking. We don't want anyone listening in."
"Lead the way."
We followed the street down onto the new row of houses and ignored every single one.
"So, what is it?"
"I need information on the priest, and you're the best person to give me that."
"You expect me to just tell you anything you want to know?"
"If you'd like to find yourself in a better position, yes." The Red Witch stopped walking suddenly and turned to face me. She had a determined look on her face.
"Do you realize how dangerous this request is?"
she asked with a harsh whisper.
"The priest is not just a priest. He has a large number of undesirables under his thumb, larger than you probably realize."
"That doesn't scare me."
"I don't say this to scare you. It's so you and I both don't get killed over something petty."
I knew she was trying to warn me, but I couldn't stop the excitement that rolled through me. Sevelia may have been worried, but her words only confirmed how intriguing all this could be, and it sounded like something I definitely wanted to get into.
"There is nothing petty about the priest, and I think you know that," I replied with a pointed look.
"But why is this so important to you?"
Sevelia frowned. Like before, I had to be careful with how I answered, so I chose the easiest option. The option that would leave me with less questions to answer.
"It just is," I shrugged.
"You know, I could force that information from you,"
the Red Witch grinned.
"Ah, but your powers don't work as well on me," I reminded her.
Sevelia had attempted to overpower me with her magic when we first met. A dark red cloud had swirled around her eyes, and I knew the charm was probably to paralyze her opponent, based on how tingly and numb my limbs started to feel, but it didn't have the full effect on me. Ash had told me how powerful red witches were, and all witches for that matter, but fortunately, none of them could control or harm demons as easily as they could these surface-world mortals. Which did make me wonder about Sevelia's situation in general. If the Red Witch was as powerful as she appeared to be, then I couldn't work out why she didn't use her magic to enchant the priest and escape the life she hated so much. Ash had told me about the gated hovel Sevelia was forced to live in, but someone as powerful as her surely had the strength to leave if she really wanted to. The Red Witch turned on her heels to continue walking along the lane, and since she remained tensely silent, I decided to just ask her the question that was on my mind.
"What holds you back from leaving your setup with the priest?"
Sevelia peered down at her boots, and she played with a single lock of dark purple hair that had fallen free from the knot. I got the impression she wasn't interested in answering, but this only made me more confused. The truth must have been worse than I first thought.
"There's a lot behind it."
"Like what?"
Sevelia let out a light but cryptic laugh.
"That's a tale for a later date."
I was only more intrigued now, but if she wasn't willing to entertain me with such a tale, then I guessed I'd have to wait until she changed her mind.
"Well then, about the information I need on the priest," I started again, to which Sevelia let out a deep sigh. "Hey, you don't even know the plan yet."
"But I assume this is all leading to something ridiculous. Anyone who isn't at all concerned about the dangers of prying into the priest's business can only be trouble."
"I might be trouble."
"And I have no interest in getting involved in something like that,"
Sevelia informed me.
"It's completely idiotic."
But what if it gives you the chance to be free?
I'll never be free. And that's just something I've come to live with.
I raised my eyebrows at the statement. Sevelia clearly didn't realize I was a demon of his word, and that I fully intended to see her freed of the priest just so long as she helped me out. I needed to get her on my side, and I had to get the Red Witch to realize I meant what I said. I held my bag of pieces up for Sevelia to see, and then shook it lightly. This isn't even a fraction of what I have at home. If you agree to what I say and can complete a mission for me, then you'll end up walking away from this entire arrangement with so much more. Sevelia slowed to a stop and stared at the bag in awe. I wondered if she ever had this much money for herself, or if all the pieces she collected went straight to the priest. It didn't surprise me if he kept it for himself, the selfish fucker. He did leave the pretty witch locked in a hovel after all. These extra pieces will be for you if you complete a task for me. You can smuggle it back to the hovel or wherever you feel safest, and finally get a payment for the job you do out here.
What do you need me to do?
Sevelia asked at once. I smiled and looked at the witch excitedly. She must have noticed the evil gleam in my eyes, because the same expression began to form over her face, like we were both in this together now. I obviously cannot get close to the church, so I need you to work out the details of the priest's rankings for me. I need you to find out how prominent he is.
Prominent?
Sevelia repeated with a frown. Yes, I grinned. Let's say, for example, the priest was to disappear. What would the fallout be from that?
What are you going to do to him?
She asked with narrowed amber eyes. Sevelia appeared hesitant again, but she hadn't disagreed with the idea, which told me she was still tempted by my offer. Let's just say the church may need to hold a funeral at some point soon. I shrugged nonchalantly. Sevelia gasped as she worked out my plan. Thankfully, no one was within earshot to hear the gasp. Otherwise, the plan could have fallen through before it even began.
You can't kill the priest.
Why not?
Because I can already imagine the backlash that'll come from that.
Sevelia rolled her amber eyes. Yes, and I need to be 100% positive about the extent of that backlash. If you can help me work this out and complete the mission, then I can give you enough money to keep you comfortable for long after the priest has died. Sevelia nibbled on her bottom lip, and then I watched as her tongue licked away at the divot where her teeth had been. It reminded me of Ash's reaction to the fairy twins earlier on, and I was briefly distracted by how naturally pouty the Red Witch's lips were. She looked like she was considering the offer more seriously now, but there was still a hint of hesitation in her eyes. I didn't know if that was a good thing or not, but I hoped she'd at least allow me to meet her again if she couldn't make up her mind tonight. Sevelia never responded and turned to continue walking at a quicker pace, but there was still a flicker of hope from the consideration I had seen on her face. It was a lot for someone to take in such a short space of time. So I decided she needed the time to fully think it all through, and I could return to Pixie Lane later.
My carriage will be here soon,
Sevelia huffed as she steered us into another secluded alley. Here, I said as I opened my bag of money. I promised you I'd make up the difference. Sevelia opened her sack, and I dropped handfuls of coins inside. I wasn't sure how much she usually collected on a nightly basis, but I doubted the priest even counted the pieces in the first place. I could imagine that he felt the weight of the sack, mentally calculated what was inside, and accepted it without question.
Thank you.
How about you give my offer some thought, and in 2 days' time, I'll meet you again. We can meet at that tavern across the road. We both turned to look at the dark, dank building at the far end of the street. The sound of laughter and cheering told me the tavern was alive with customers, and I speculated about how many of those customers were tinsel fairies, and if they were as drunk as I usually found them. Ash and I had come to realize if tinsel fairies weren't flying around causing mischief, then they were probably lying on a bar top or flying into the side of buildings because they couldn't control their wings once they had enjoyed a few tonics.
I've never been to a tavern,
Sevelia pondered out loud. You really have lived a sheltered life. I bet you'll like it, and I'll even buy the drinks.
The drinks are on you.
The Red Witch raised a dark purple eyebrow. Hey, I look after the women in my life. I winked. But you should go. I think I can hear the carriage arriving. The clear sound of horses' hooves was heard in the distance, and my money was on it being the carriage to take Sevelia away again. She looked so irritated to be leaving all of a sudden, and she fussed with her hair while her expression darkened. The immediate shift in her demeanor only made me more determined to give her the freedom she deserved.
2 nights from now,
Sevelia double-checked. 2 nights from now, I confirmed. I hid back into the shadows before the driver could see me talking to Sevelia, and she glanced back at me before she swiftly left the alley. In that one glance, I could tell she was both intrigued and impressed. I shifted to the edge of the alley and watched her red cloak billow behind her as she hurried to the priest's carriage, and I couldn't help but think she'd complete the mission I set for her, and that I'd soon have my plans for the priest underway.